life is so short and so fragile and so quick that what I've found in my own life is true prosperity, true abundance only really comes when you invest yourself in helping other people.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's up, my friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. This is conversation number 75, and I'm super excited that you're here with me today. I had a very fulfilling and centering podcast today. My guest today was Jim Rajan, and he is a Nichiren Buddhist. We talked about a lot of things, depression, gratitude, and many, many, many more things that all of the other things that I talk about on the podcast and all of the other people that I talk to on the podcast, all of those things, all of these ways that we quantify our own success, none of those are possible unless we apply what is applied and talked about in this conversation. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope you walk away feeling as good and centered as I did from this one. Remember, you can find this podcast and all other things podcast on christophlewis.com/podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
My pleasure, my great pleasure.
It's so good to have you here. Yes, absolutely. I tell you, right before we started recording, I'm like half sleepy. I'm trying to wake myself up. I was listening to an interview of you and you were playing your flute and my whole family was in here and we were listening to it. And my dog, I swear, was turning her head left and turning her head right. And I think she was just being serenaded too. But it was so, so good music and it was so relaxing. And I just went into it like an immediate state of just relaxation. So I just like, I had to say, like, I've never gone into one of these like kind of, you know, tired and all that stuff, but I thought it was so funny. So it was awesome. That was really cool. So for people that don't know who you are, can we just go over that really quick before we get into the rest of the things, like who you are and what you do?
Sure. I do loads of things. So yeah, I'm a Bansuri flute player. So the flute you heard,
yeah,
I think it was a Soul Sisters.
Yeah. Ring. Yeah. That's the one. That's the one I heard.
I'm a percussionist as well, but yeah, the Bansuri flute is it's like a North Indian traditional folk instrument. I'm half Indian, half English.
Okay.
And that's one of the main things I do. I'm also a Nichiren Buddhist, which means that I work a lot for free, going around and supporting people in the area that I live, supporting them in their practice, helping them really deepen their lives through the practice of Nichiren Buddhism. I'm a musician. I'm a music producer. I also make guided visualizations and meditations.
Yeah,
where I mix my own music with my voice, and yeah, you can find my work all over the place, Insight Timer, on my website, YouTube, all kinds of things.
Thank you so much. We're definitely gonna have to check it out because I grew up listening to Native American music in Colorado. It had a huge influence in my life. So when I heard the flute, automatically my wife even joked about it. She's like, this is right up your alley. You really enjoy this stuff. And I said, absolutely. And I know there's vast differences, but to me, there was a lot of similarities as well. And I really enjoyed it. And it's cool that you're able to be so involved in everything that you do. And one of the things I love you said is that you work for free and you help other people, you support other people in your community. And I think that's so important. That's one of the things I love to talk about here is just being able to do that, like going out there. And I speak with a lot of people that have had quote unquote success in their field. And I always try to ask them, you know, like you could have stopped doing what you've done. Like you could have, for your example, you could have been doing everything that you do, your music, everything that you listed just now, but it could have stopped with that. So to me, it's very interesting that people go beyond that and they give back to their community, and they give back to others. And that's obviously a huge thing that you said is what you're about and what you do.
I mean, that in a way, that's probably why I said that first, because that's the most important thing for me. Is I love my work as a musician and a producer, but the thing that life is so short and so fragile and so quick that what I've found in my own life is true prosperity, true abundance only really comes when you invest yourself in helping other people.
Absolutely.
And you don't do it to help other. Let me get this right. Yeah, you don't do it to receive abundance.
Yes,
it's like Deepak Chopra, for example, talks about the cycle of prosperity, and so maybe you know it. I don't know, but if not, just quickly, it's a cycle that continually revolves around your energetic body all the time.
Okay,
and the more you give, the more you receive, and so. It's as simple as that. You give and therefore you will receive, and you may not receive from the place that you're giving, but you will. The universe, God, whatever you want to call it, will
absolutely
recompense you until you start complaining or talking badly about other people being negative or all these sort of things, and that stops the cycle until you start giving again, and then you give again, and then you receive. And you don't give to receive, but it's a wonderful...
Absolutely. No, that's a great point. That's a great point to make. And I subscribe to the same exact thing. No matter how you want to, like you said, whether you believe in God or the universe or whomever it is, that to me is very important to be able to give back. And for the fact that you said that not just to give, to be able to receive, but give to give. And a lot of times... I think in mysterious ways it comes back, the reception of that. Like a lot of times you might ask, wow, everything's going wrong. Everything's going very badly in my life. And you're like, I just keep on giving and giving and giving. And I think at the most mysterious times it comes back into your life. And I speak from personal experience, and I speak even more so from a personal experience within the last, I'd say, month or two. Like my wife and I were going through some really tough financial times, like crazy things were coming up in our lives, like taxes from years ago, like crazy stuff that was through no fault of our done incorrectly. And we were like, oh my gosh, like how are we going to pay all this stuff? And then the short story is that things came back into our life that helped us pay for that. And it was just beyond me. And I promise you, I was like, I've been doing, this is the 75th episode. So 75 people I've talked to, I was like, I do this for free. I don't get paid a dime. And I've been doing this for a year and a half. And I was like, I try so hard to help other people. And then how, I was like even almost cursing, like, how could this happen to me? Like thousands of dollars. And all I do is try to help people. And then I was like, all right, you got to practice what you preach. And it was like, not very long, a couple weeks later. And this even bigger, like way more money came in than I even owed. And I was just like, this is just like, you just got to cool it, man. You got to cool it. Like, just keep on doing good things. Just keep on doing good things. And not because you want the reception of that either. So I love that you mentioned that as well.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I think, and also you have these problems like tax. Tax is a big one. Yeah, I've had different ones as well. And they come. they come because for me, you need to learn something. Anytime I have like an obstacle or a problem in life or something, some kind of difficulty, it's like you have it right in front of your face until you separate yourself from it. And you're like, wait a minute. I needed to learn something to transform this situation into something else. And when you realize that, the possibility of the opportunities that can come from you actively transforming that situation are huge. They're absolutely huge.
Yeah, being able to transform that situation, I think a lot of times for me, is to realize, like, be very much in the moment and aware of how I'm reacting to that situation. Because like I said, my immediate emotional reaction was to get very upset and very angry, even like almost like, hey, universe, how dare you smack me in the face with all this? But I have to be like, wow. I mean, I talk to multiple people every single week, like I said, and I was just like, I looked in on myself and I was like, Harry, how dare I like react in such a way? And I understand we're human. We're full of emotions, and emotions are beautiful, and I love embracing them. But at the same time, I'm like, you have to use this as a practice right here to be able to understand and how to control it and react to it. So yeah, I absolutely agree. And I know like the whole complaining thing, I've really tried to get a handle on that. I complained a lot more in my past life. I still do as well, you know, but I do notice that I'm trying to mitigate that as much as possible. And I think one of the things you said is that kind of breaks the chain, you know, of the giving and the receiving. It kind of breaks the chain and you have to start all over. So I try to practice a lot more gratitude in my life.
I think that there's a real conditioning in the modern world about complaining. And there are some societies where it's like a fundamental part of the society. It is to be negative about other people or to complain or to look for separation between you and someone else in certain ways or whatever. And what was I going to say? Yeah, and what you've brought to my mind a little bit is this concept that actually nothing really exists at all, and that everything that you see through your eyes is simply a manifestation from your subconscious mind delivering you situations and opportunities to learn stuff. And so if you understand what I mean, so things happen, difficulties happen, amazing things happen as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so it's simply been put in front of you so that you learn something, become a more expanded individual, a more useful individual in the world, and take another step forward and then another step forward. Mm-hmm. And I complain. Yeah. I win sometimes, complain, but I often find it's because someone else is doing it and their kind of negative energy is sucking me in, and I'm a bit of an empath. It looks to me like you're kind of the same.
Yeah, I can be. I'm
very intuitive, and I just sort of I get lost in other people's emotions sometimes. Yeah. And we have to be strong. Yeah. You have to have a kind of solid pillar inside you. No?
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of practice. It can be easy for me. Like you said, we're similar in that fact where sometimes I can succumb to other people's emotions a lot more than I want to. I'm working on that. And I think that's a huge step, is to be self-aware in that sense and to understand, to work on that. Because, oh my gosh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's your spouse or your people at work. That's a great example too. He said, you know, I find myself too, and you know, I'll be at work and I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying my work. I'm like, I'm so thankful to get paid. I'm so thankful to have a job, and on and on and on. And then all of a sudden somebody comes in the room and they say, whatever, it's complaining about something that's just so ridiculous. And you find yourself maybe in the same moment as well. And it's very unfortunate. And I think, again, very much so, I'll repeat that, as long as you're self-aware and you try to mitigate it and you understand that is not the way you should react to those situations is very big. And I will shift for a second. And I heard you say in that same interview that we were talking about when we first started, you said, and I didn't get it, I was trying to write it down as you were speaking, but you said, there are people on this earth who are amazing, but they won't let themselves be it at all. Now, you said it a lot more beautifully than that. You said it like you delivered it really well. And to me, it kind of coincides with the things that we've already been talking about. And that's one of the major points that I talk about very much in every single podcast episode, is I truly believe, and again, from experience, I sold myself short very much so. And I believe other people sell themselves short. I just recently in my life, I haven't divulged it to the public yet, but I took a huge leap of faith doing something, scared shitless. I was so scared, truly. And in the moment, I was very embarrassed even. And I told my wife, I said, this went terribly. I shouldn't have done it. I feel very bad about myself. And I felt bad about myself for weeks until I got this great news. So that'll come out here in a couple of weeks. But I was just so happy to hear you say that as well, because I love other people that are just like, you're out there, you talk to people, you're working in the community, and you're telling other people. And how have you, like in myself, like I just said in that example, like I've seen it within my own life. So I go, if I'm experiencing it, more than likely other people are selling themselves short. So why have you kind of subscribed to that notion as well? Or how have you seen that in the world? Have you experienced that yourself?
Yeah. I really believe in 100% authenticity.
Yeah.
And it's a really, 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 really difficult thing to do. No,
yeah.
To absolutely honestly be 100% yourself and live from that, you know, and to spring from that. As part of the voluntary work I do in my Buddhist practice, I see in this moment, I mean, I live in Spain, in the north of Madrid, in Spain, in the mountains,
very cool.
And it's a beautiful place.
I bet.
But here, there are loads of men of my age who are really depressed and mm-hmm. unhappy and unfulfilled in life, and I love meeting people like that, because I get to sit with them and first of all listen to them, because
yeah.
no one else
yeah.
did
yeah.
in their life
yeah.
no, and then try and really encourage that person to just be themselves and to do their own thing and to just take that leap of faith. I love that. I don't know if you've read the book, The Artist's Way, but like the first quote in The Artist's Way is leap and the net will appear. The Artist's Way is by Julie Cameron or Julia Cameron. Leap and the net will appear. So have faith. And don't necessarily have faith in something outside of yourself. Have faith in yourself. You are an amazing, amazing being. You know, you're an incredible culmination of the universal existence.
Mm.
And the capacities mm-hmm. that you have are simply awesome.
Yes.
No? And so what most of us haven't been given is then get on and do it.
Yeah.
Many of us, we see that in ourselves. I see the potential in myself. I see the things I'd like to do. I see my dreams. I see the things that I want to achieve. But I don't have any self-esteem and I don't believe in myself. And No.
Yeah.
It's like I personally have had some massive suffering-based lessons. Enough for me to just go, no, just do it. Just do it. And
yeah.
if you fail, then you failed. But you had a go.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally will not get to the last day of my life and look back and go, oh man, why didn't I try X? Why didn't I try this thing? Or
I'm the same way.
I'm
the same way.
I've been programmed by my own life to be like that. And I love helping other people see it as well.
Yeah, it's all tied together, everything you've said. And authenticity, I think, is very hard, because I don't know how you worded it earlier in the podcast, but you said just the things that are happening around us, it's hard to, I'm trying to think of what you said, but what I'm getting at is that it's hard to be authentic, because really who we are is everything we've read, everything we've seen, everyone we've talked to. And obviously we don't just perfectly replicate that, you know, we hopefully make our own deductions and we do our due diligence. And it's like, I always give the example of, I don't even like talking about politics at all, but I always give the example of, I don't subscribe to right wing, I don't subscribe to left wing, I take some from the right, some from the left, some from the middle, and I make my own inference off of that. And I think I use that example because it's, especially here in America, it's so crazy. And I try to have people, you know, think with your mind, like, just because you subscribe to one thing over here doesn't mean you have to subscribe to all of the other things in this area, right? So I think based on all of this and the authenticity, it can be hard to be authentic. But I think if you, again, are self-aware, at least me, I'm self-aware in a fact where if I want to have authenticity, especially on a podcast where I'm, you know, other people are choosing to listen to me, I'm like very thankful for people choosing to subscribe to this channel and, you know, hear conversations like this. And I know it's beautiful, I will say, seeing the difference between episode 1 and episode 75 and me being allowed by myself to be myself. And if I tend to or seem to struggle with authenticity, I remember that. I go, hey, just be yourself. Seriously. And if something comes out and it sounds like somebody else, like I've been chastised for that before, but I go, hey, you know, so what if I've heard that? So what if I'm repeating something from somebody else? Isn't that most of our thoughts are that? Most of them, not all of them, but I think that, and that's how I think, or how I deal with the authenticity. And then one of the things you said was you deal with a lot of people that are depressed and unfulfilled. And it reminds me of conversation number 70. And she was an author. And she said, I live a very privileged and good life. I have a house, you know, a roof over my head. I sleep in a bed at night, but I wake up and I'm unhappy sometimes. And she goes, how could this be? How could it be that I have all of these things? I have a good life, food on the table, but I wake up unhappy. And she said to herself, and she said to me, if I feel this way, then other people most likely feel this way. And of course that's happening. You're talking about there in Spain, and there's, it doesn't matter. Like that was, I think she was from New Zealand. Like it doesn't matter where you're from. These things happen. So it's very interesting to me that you, I mean, it's probably easy to notice, but you're helping people with that as well.
Yeah. I think, what I find is one's conditioning. You know, we are so conditioned. You're conditioned by your family, school and education, country, politics, society, so many millions of things.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult to not necessarily escape that. It's very difficult to be aware of that. I mean, something that was great for me was to live in a different country from where I was born.
I agree.
Because I come to live in Spain, and I was like, yeah, but you should be doing things like they do in England. It's much better. And until I realized my own thoughts, yeah. And I was like, actually, no, you live in this amazing country where they know how to enjoy life.
Yeah.
In England, yes, people know how to enjoy life, but they do it in a very, very different way. And it's a much more money and work-based society. That sounds like Spain is not a work-based society. But in England, everything's about money. It's a much more commercial. Yeah. Everything is commercial. I don't know what it's like in the States. Maybe it's very similar.
That sounds similar, yeah. There's so much here, though. But I definitely agree to what you say. My mother's Hungarian. That's where the Krzysztof comes from. And I lived in right outside of Budapest for a little while. And I was fortunate enough to travel. I love Hungary. And I was fortunate enough to travel at a young age and see all these cultures. And I love that you bring that up. And I think that's what I would recommend to other people. If you are struggling with things like that, I'll even go a little bit farther and say I was in the military. I was in the Navy for 9 years. And I went to places like Afghanistan and Eastern Africa, and I saw some not great things. I saw some not great living situations. And I mean, I won't go into them, but I'm just saying, like, you don't have to go to drastic situations like that. But like you even said, like from England to Spain, there's such a difference of how people live their lives. And I think getting that new perspective, it's not going to completely alleviate maybe your unfulfillment or your depression. But I think that new perspective will help maybe gain just a different perspective and maybe help you think about your problems in a different way, because they are still your problems and they're very real to you.
Completely.
It's interesting. So yeah, I always recommend that. And it's, you brought up conditioning as well. Conditioning is very hard to break. And I think a lot of that has to deal with the culture that you grow up in as well. And I think it's very, it can be very difficult to break out of that. But I think, again, you know, bringing up the living abroad, that very much helps that as well. And that's an incredible point. Yeah. And one of the other things you said, and I read it on your website and I was going to bring it up anyway, but you just brought it up organically as saying that you're a listener, and you brought it up in the regard to people are depressed, people are unfulfilled. And sometimes people, and anybody, but a lot of times people that are struggling with these things, they just need an ear. They need somebody to not tell them what's, you know, well, you should be happy because you have this. Like, that's not what those people need to hear. They just need to be heard. And it sounds like you're the sounding board for them, correct?
I do my best.
Yeah.
I do my best.
Yeah.
I think that listening is an art, and it's something that you have to really learn how to do, because we are in my education, I was taught to receive. So I was taught to receive information. I was taught to receive learning from a teacher, from another person. So therefore, what does that mean? That means that I'm empty and I require filling with information. No. Mm-hmm. And so I was trained to receive. And so therefore, what I kind of see in my life was that I had to really learn how to just be and know that this entity that is Jim is a wonderful thing in itself. And so when I'm with another person, I can give them my complete attention because I don't need to compete and battle and try to show that I'm this or that or better or more or greater or faster or whatever. No, I can simply just be and provide someone with a space where they can talk without having to worry about how their words are being received.
That's a really important part.
I do my best to just allow someone's words to be received by me, and I try not to make a judgment. And often I've been in sort of Buddhist meetings with many people, and I haven't said a single thing, but I've just thoroughly enjoyed listening to someone else talk about their life. And that's a gift. Now, why would I need to interrupt?
Yeah, being able to listen to somebody with your complete attention is extremely important for them, and I think important for you too, because I've been in a few of those situations where I am just listening, and even though I may not talk in that exact conversation, when I walk away and when I go to bed at night, when I'm laying in my bed and my head rests on my pillow and then I'm in my own head and I'm in my own thoughts, I think about everything they said and I try to see, you know, maybe it makes my perspective better. Like, you don't always need to go to a different country. It helps to get a different perspective, but just listening to somebody and fully hearing them out. And I think an important point to make from that is that you're not, because you have this complete attention and they know that, they can see that, they can feel that, that they're 100% themselves. They can say what they want. And I think it's just a lot more, you know, speaking of fulfillment, it's a lot more fulfilling for everybody involved, even if you're not saying anything and back to them.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
And,
I agree.
Yeah, and it kind of, like, one of the other things I saw you said, like, people have so much now but are still finding time to complain about. And I know we mentioned complaining earlier. We mentioned, you know, about this depression and unfulfillment of life. And it's funny because I was even having a conversation with a lot of the things we just talked about with my wife this week. And it's just, it's so interesting to me to see, like, why is this happening? Like, things are very good. We have, you know, for the most part, like me, I say to, you know, a house, a roof over my head, I sleep in a bed. And then even me, just like this other guest I had, I still find myself complaining about things. And I understand that things are all relative. But for you, do you find yourself in similar situations? And if so, how do you deal with that when those emotions and those things creep up on you?
Well, I do things that make my heart sing. So, I mean, I will invest a lot of time in my Buddhist practice.
Yeah.
For one, if I need to chant, it's not a meditation based practice. It's very active. Okay. It's like an active meditation where you chant.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it. So again. Please, yeah.
And so I'll go and chant for an hour, or I'll do some Kundalini yoga, or I will just sit and play music, or just go and sit in a field, or. I mean, if you look around you, the universe expresses itself in a myriad of wonderful ways all the time. You could just look at the sky sometimes and think, wow, that's fantastic. I have I have people complaining around me a lot, just as everyone does. It's a training. It's a practice. You never become Mr. No Complaining. It's impossible, or Mrs. No Complaining. But you certainly can work on yourself with awareness, with conscious awareness, to go, oh, wait a minute. No. The cycle of prosperity is stopping, dude. Calm down. Yeah. Take a step back. Think about what you're saying, because your words are super, super powerful. Mm-hmm. Your words have so much power. And so there's a phrase that the original Buddha said, think 9 times before you speak.
Yeah.
Three
or four. very humble. You're very humble.
But you know what I mean? And so I think, well, no, wait a minute. How is what I'm about to say going to affect this person and the situation in which we are in and my life as a whole? Because as soon as you start complaining, there's like a little devil or something inside of you that loves it, and they're kind of rubbing their hands with glee that you're about to complain. And I have that, but I now am starting to notice that little devil or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And I notice it, and I notice the emotion that it gives me, and the, and it makes me feel kind of happy to complain. So I have to just go.
Yeah, it does. Bang. That's a good way.
Bang, stop, because whether that makes me feel happy, it doesn't actually mean that it's right for my life.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you say that it makes you feel happy. Like, it makes you feel better. It's almost like when you're hurt, like physically or something, you go, oh, that hurt, or, you know, whatever. So even on a way like that, there's got to be, I'm not even remotely smart enough for this, but there's got to be something psychologically that, you know, is released in your brain when you complain or when you say you were hurt or something that helps trick your brain that you're feeling better when indeed you're not, especially, and I agree with the complaining, if you're complaining, like, and because we both, you know, hit on the head that it's infectious. If you're complaining, then you it's just like, I want to set a good example for the people in my life. I want to set a good example for me, for my wife, for my baby daughter, for all these things that she grows up. I want to set a good example. So if I'm always like complaining and I'm always just setting this, you know, toxicity out into the world, then she's going to go forth and she's going to do that as well as she gets older. So I think, like, I always try to figure out how to be a good leader, how to be a better leader. And I think a lot of that is, you know, well, how are you influencing not even the world? I talk about affecting the world positively, but just your world, the world around you, those immediate to you. How are you affecting them? Are you complaining to them? And as I'm saying this to you, I'm like, wow, I need to do a lot better job, because there's a lot of times where I don't do that.
Well, you can only do your best. I agree with this concept of being an example, being an example for the people around you, so that they know what a good person is.
Yeah.
You know? So that they have a reference. I mean, I used to work. It's funny, the kind of the list of sort of questions you gave at the in our first email with each other.
Yeah.
I used to work for one of the biggest TV music TV channels in the world, and there were famous people around me all the time, but there was also drugs and alcohol everywhere, no? And yeah, it was the most unsafe feeling, backstabbing. It was an environment that was really kind of dirty.
And I
was young. I was in my early 20s when I started in that world, and I loved it, and I thought that's how you were supposed to be, and I didn't have a reference or an example of how life is supposed to be. No, because there is no life is supposed to be anything. I didn't have a reference of how great a person I could be for this world. No. And one day I just stopped. I just chucked it all in, and I was earning loads of money and had a wonderful car and a this and a that and everything. And I just stopped it and had to just go and work in a bar. And I went and just worked in a bar and I'm earning a couple of hundred pounds a week instead of thousands. And it was fantastic. It was the most humbling and I needed it.
That's awesome.
I needed humbling.
Yeah. That's crazy. You were able to make that shift, though.
It was not. I'm a really sensitive person. I'm super sensitive, and I just didn't fit.
Sure.
I love the idea of it, you know, and I would be with this famous rock star one day and this famous whatever actor or actress the next day, filming and doing this thing and that thing. I was a producer and a director and all this kind of stuff, and people think, wow, that must have been amazing. And I just think, well, it was just a job, but it was a job that was based on superficiality, not wanting to offend or be negative towards anyone in that world. But it wasn't right for me, because I was obviously on a path from day one, and that wasn't the right path for me, and so I needed to kind of cleanse, and so I just turned it all on its head and jacked it all in and went and worked in a bar and reduced my life into this very small thing so that I could then grow from that little thing instead of
you
just
built
being
a new foundation
and a mess and chaotic.
That's amazing. Good for you. That's very, very incredible, and thank you for sharing that story. And I would hope that people listening too, like, I'm going through that in my life now too, and I am very thankful for what I have. I'm comfortable. I can pay my bills, and I'm doing a lot of thinking. And, you know, I'm not going to divulge anything on a podcast at the moment, but, you know, things are turning, and, you know, there's no telling where I'm going to go from here. Like, absolutely no telling where I want to go from here, but I really do appreciate it. And I could easily, see this going on another half an hour, another hour. I get into some of these conversations and I almost hate to halt them, you know, and, that they, as I always say, they're not, I'm so happy that I can capture them for other people, but there's so much for me too. They really are. And I've thoroughly enjoyed my time with you, and it's helped me exercise a lot of things that I've been thinking about lately. Like I said, the complaining and just, oh my gosh, we talked about so much. And I appreciate you bringing that out with me and being, listening with me as well, listening to me and allowing me to speak as well. So thanks so much for your time. It's got to be late there too.
Yeah, it's like 11:30 at night, but yeah. That's fine.
Thank you.
No, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure for me as well. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, I could talk for another hour. Yes. Easily. Like, this is my subject. This
absolutely. Yeah, no, it's very enjoyable with you, and you make it very easy. And I love diving into the mind in that sense of exploring our emotions and everything that we've talked about here, and encouraging people to help other people. So I do appreciate it. But before we go, if people want to learn more about you and everything that's provided on your website, what's your website and how can people find you?
So my website is my name, jimrajan.com. So Jim, short for James, and Rajan is Rajan.com. And on there you will find essentially, we're just rebuilding it as we speak, but for example, I have a new guided visualization course called Making Prosperity and Fulfillment Effortless in the Age of Aquarius. And it's just a simple 10-part thing, each 10 minutes long, that you just have to listen to. It's not even meditation. It's different. It's very active. It takes you on a story whereby it takes you to your very essence. And from that place, you are able to make serious and solid changes in your life. So, take a look at my website. Contact me, you know, there's a place where you can put your email address. I love talking. Feel free.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. All right. Well, it will be in the show notes for you that want to check it out. And Jim, like I said, I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
Cool. My pleasure. And if you want to do it again, I'm here anytime.
I'll make note of that. I'm always looking for that. So I do appreciate it. All right, Jim, have a great rest of your night. Get some sleep. See ya.
Cool. You too. Take care. Thanks so much.